Good morning. All right. All right, everybody. Good morning. And hopefully you enjoyed the first session where we take a little liberty and talk and discuss about different things. I think that's good. I think that's healthy. There again, study the Bible for yourself and then don't take the things I say and act like I've got a special corner on anything. I'm studying just like you guys are and I'm learning like you guys are, hopefully. As I said earlier, what we're going to do this morning, we're going to do an overview of the book of Colossians this morning. So, we're going to put Colossians and we'll just call it overview. What I want to do with this overview, I don't want to get distracted and get carried off on some rabbit trail. I want to try to be precise. This might be one of those books where you might want to take some notes. If not, I'm going to put most of what I can on the board for you so that when we come back and teach some messages out of Colossians, you're going to have an expectation, you're going to have an outline, you're going to have something there to help you study the book of Colossians. Extremely important, right? We're not just to read the Bible. We are to study the Bible, right? What give attendance to reading, but the famous verse in the Scripture that we use, 2 Timothy 2:15, says what? Study it, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right? Let us pray, and we're going to look at the book of Colossians this morning in an outline that I prepared through my own studies and things that I think going down the road it'll help us all to study a little deeper in this book. All right? Father, we're so grateful, so thankful for all that you have done for us through the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture for our justification, that if we by faith alone in His work alone would believe on Him and receive Him by faith, you would save us. We thank you for that and praise you for that. And I pray that anyone here this morning that's never done that, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, they would do so. Anyone that might watch this video might hear the simple plan of salvation. Christ has done it all. There's nothing that we can do except believe Him, trust Him, and take it for what you said it is and what it means. I've done that, and I pray the folks under my voice have done that. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all that you've done for us in Him and by Him. In His name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. All right. In the book of Colossians, you've got four chapters there. You can go home and read this probably in 20, 25 minutes. You can't study it in 20, 25 minutes, but you can begin to read it. One of the things that I want to lay out to you, and I want you to really think about, in chapter 1, and that's what we're going to do, we're going to hit this thing by chapters. In chapter 1, there's power, and the power is of Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want you to see in chapter 1 is power. And we're going to look at that power. And then you're going to also find preeminence. All right? And it's in Jesus Christ. When Colossians, the writer, Paul, obviously, and the Holy Spirit, given Paul this letter to pen, it's obvious to me that he wants the focus to be on Jesus Christ. He wants the focus to be on His Son, right? Folks, that's what Jesus Christ, or God Almighty, is invested in. He's invested in His Son. All right? If we get the understanding of what God has done through and by Jesus Christ, we come up through the foundational book of Romans, we read Galatians, we read 1st, 2nd Corinthians, we come to Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, we're going to see that back here in the foundational book of Romans, there is kind of a skeleton built, if you will. But now in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, we're going to put meat on that, right? Well, we started out back there in milk doctrine, and now we're graduating to meat doctrine. All right? And it's a deeper dive into looking at who we are in Christ, who He is in us. But here's the first thing I want you to establish. I think this is extremely important that you establish who Jesus Christ truly is. So look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath, already done, delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's past tense, right? All right. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So far, it's all about Christ, isn't it? All right. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. See that? All right. That firstborn, what that's telling you, folks, when God begot Him, He is the first, right, to be risen, to life, to never die again. Amen? Nobody before Jesus Christ was ever risen not to die again. There was people who opened up graves. The graves opened up back in the Gospels, and they all sprang forth, and they went about telling what all had happened. But you know what? Those people had to do what? They had to die again, right? Lazarus was raised from the dead. But Lazarus had to die again. Jesus Christ is the first one to be brought up to not ever die again. Okay? Watch, and you're going to understand why that is. For by Him were all things created. By whom? Jesus Christ, right? Well, all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Do you see it? All right. Now, if you see this, the power, if you see that He's the Creator, it's going to help you with the book of Colossians. When He says in the book of Colossians, the hope of glory, which is what? Christ in you, I want you to let that bread stay in the oven until it rises. That's the Creator God, who created all things by Him, for Him, now is in you, your hope of glory. You ought to lay on that for a long time until that really rings through to your heart, your soul, and your mind, that not only is Jesus Christ the Savior, Jesus Christ is the God-man. He's the Creator God. I'm going to show you that in Scripture. Look at verse 17. And He is before all things. Now notice, He is, not was, He is before all things. Right? And by Him all things consist. Let's look at that power. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Look at Genesis chapter 1. If we get through the outline of all four chapters, great. If not, that's all right. We'll try next week. But I want you to deal and I want you to see the power and the preeminence of Jesus Christ. It's not a preacher. It's not a pastor. It's not a pope. It is Jesus Christ. All powerful. Creator God. God manifested in the flesh. Preeminent. Right? Nothing above Him. All right? God's made it that way. Chapter 1, Genesis, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Who created it? Who created it in Colossians chapter 1? Through who? By who? Jesus Christ, right? So, all power. Jesus Christ created all things. God created all things by Jesus Christ, for Him, by Him, and for Him, right? That's what the Scripture tells us. He's not an angel, right? He's not just a man. He's not one that does good so that we can have a pattern to see that He did good. He's God, the Creator, in the flesh. Look at John chapter 1. You want me to tell you the wickedness of religion? All religion has replaced Jesus Christ. They have a head, and it ain't Christ. They don't give preeminence to Jesus Christ. They give preeminence to the founder of that religion. An angel appeared to me in a forest and told me to do something. You just took the preeminence and the power off of Jesus Christ and you put it on an angel and a man. What did Paul say? If any man come unto you preaching any other gospel than that which you've received of me, let him be accursed. I say, even if an angel from heaven were to give you any other gospel, let him be accursed. We give preeminence to Jesus Christ. We know that He is all powerful. We know that He is God manifest in the flesh. That eats religion alive because they only see Jesus as a prophet, a good man, one that did well, went about doing miracles. They don't see Him for who He is. Colossians is showing you who Jesus Christ is. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice Word is capitalized, right? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Who made all things in Colossians 1? Jesus Christ. Who made the heaven and the earth in Genesis 1? All right. Are we getting home yet? Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1:1. God who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, having these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made what? The worlds. Who did He make them by? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the image of God, the express image of God. He is the Godhead complete. He is the Son of God. God manifested in the flesh. Right? Look at Revelation chapter 1. The correct understanding of Jesus Christ will keep you out of religion. It'll help you. When I say that Jesus Christ and the salvation He brought us when He went to the cross, according to the Scriptures, died, was buried, and rose again, when I say you can't add anything to that, it's God the Creator that says, I don't need anything from you. If I could have taken anything from you and given you eternal life, I would not have gone to the cross and stretched out my arms and had spikes driven through my hands and my feet and shed my blood from you. That tells you there that you're not part of it other than believing what God has said about it. Amen? And receiving it by faith. God Almighty the Creator doesn't need your help in saving you. He doesn't need you to do anything afterwards to prove to Him that you are saved. Don't you think God knows who's saved and who ain't saved? And I can tell you who is saved. The ones who have trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for their salvation, who believe the gospel of their salvation. Amen? That's the ones that are saved. Who are they? I don't know them by name. The only one I know for sure in this room is saved is me. I know I've done that. Amen? Amen. Look here in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Let me flip my other Bible. I've got a study Bible and I got a reader's Bible up here. And like Brother Daniel, he had three of them. Look at chapter 1 and look at verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the what? The Almighty. Jesus Christ is the Almighty. God has appointed Him as preeminent. He stepped out on nothing, spoke everything that is into existence. Amen. And it was created by Him, and it was created for Him. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that when you're reading this book of Colossians, look back now at Colossians 1:9. Back and look at 1:9. Look at 1:9. If I get there myself, we'll be right, won't we? There we go. All right. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. All right, and He gives you the purpose. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of what? God. All right, so that's a key verse. That's a key verse. Two verses, key verses. Look at 4:12. I know we did this last week. Look at 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. We know that we're complete in Christ. But he is saying, stand and be complete in the will of Christ, right? Now, Colossians is a book that Paul wrote. But we don't find in Scripture that Paul visited this church. We don't find that Paul established this church. The name that keeps appearing in the Scripture in Colossians is Epaphras, who Paul said was a faithful minister unto them. Paul writes the book and he tells them to share this letter, to share it with the Laodiceans as well. So this is not a church that Paul has gone to, established by what we find in Scripture, how we can go back to Acts in that period of time where Paul was doing those things, like Ephesus and so Corinth and so on and so on. But what we see is a letter. And this letter that Paul writes to these Colossians, it's not about how to become justified before God. It's about how to walk now that you are justified by God. Right? He's also giving you now a way to see Jesus Christ and to understand Christ, to come into the knowledge of Christ. And it's not 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look there. So here's where you have a disconnect with religious people and people who have gotten away from the milk and they've gotten onto the meat. You're going to see a distinction between those two groups of people. Most Christians, so-called professing Christians, are going to die somewhere between Matthew 1 and Acts chapter 2. They're never going to advance on the deeper doctrine. They get caught up back there in that program. That's where they live their life. That's where they'll die. Right? But we're of those who are going to press forward. And we're going to go into the deeper doctrines. We're going to look at who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what He's made us, what He's done for this body. We have an understanding of the body of Christ. We have an understanding of Jesus Christ that is different than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and early Acts. Right? Watch 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Colossians is not dealing with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, walking the streets of Galilee. The Spirit has inspired Paul to write about the glorified Jesus Christ who appeared to him on the road to Damascus, gave him an abundance of revelation continually, and Paul comes into this mystery doctrine, and now he's laying it out in a letter to these Colossians that once they've come from the milk to the meat, they can have a great understanding of who Jesus Christ is, His preeminence, and now, by the mystery, He's in them the hope of glory. That's wonderful stuff, isn't it? All right, so we'll let that be chapter 1. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 is your justified position in Jesus Christ. It's not telling you what to go believe to be saved. It's telling you what has happened since you have believed, right? And it's so strong when you see it the correct way. and you get off of the milk, if you will, and you start to grow up into this thing, there's so much power that this book, a book like Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, is a thing that can change you inwardly. Build up that inner man. Christ being formed in you, that things that you may be struggling with, you get the understanding of who you are in Christ, who He is in you, Creator God of all things, who built the world, who built the heaven and the earth, spoke all things into existence, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending. He lives in you in the person of the Spirit. Right? That's strong. You understand? That's strong. This is not some symbolic faith that we have. It's not some mystical faith that we have. Our faith is rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We've gone backwards. We've read about the fleshly Jesus who came to Israel, came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We've read that. We know that. We respect that. We honor that. But that's not how we know Him now. We know Him according to the pen of the Apostle Paul, in which he gave us to know Him. So this position that we have, folks, it's real. Now watch. Look in chapter 2. Look at verse 6. As you have there received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving. The believer today is not to get on his knees and beg God for a bunch of stuff. The believer today is to bow his head, bow his knees, and pray with a heart of thanksgiving. Thank you for making me accepted in the beloved. Thank you for the adoption of sons. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for forgiveness of all my sins, past, present, future. Thank you for the Son of God who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. That should be a prayer life of a believer today, is a prayer and a heart of thanksgiving. Make all your requests known unto God. I get it. But the first thing we ought to do, we ought to reference the power, the preeminence, and the head of the church, the body, and hold up that head and give Him thanks, give Him glory, give Him everything that we have in thanksgiving. That's where we ought to start, folks. That's where we ought to start. Religion prays differently. Right? Religion will teach you to always be asking for something. And I don't mean this as being sanctimonious. I found that my prayer life now has changed. I don't ask for a lot. I really don't. I pray, I give thanks, but I don't do the things, I don't pray the way I used to pray. I realize I've got all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I realize I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. What more do I need, right? If I've got food and raiment, hey, I should be content, right? It's what Paul was talking about in Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul knew who he was in Christ. And Paul knew whether he was poor, whether he was rich, whether he was base, or whether he was abounding, he had everything he needs sufficiently in Christ. And he was thankful, right? Look here. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. We dealt with that last week, so look at verse 9. For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see that? In Christ. Now watch verse 10. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. You see that? You see your position? You see your position in Christ. That's your justified position. You're what in Him? You're complete. How did I get complete? I just got put into Him. Right? That's what the next verses are going to show you. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse 11. In whom also you're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Foundational doctrine found in Romans chapter 8. Right? See it? All right? That's not a heart circumcision. That was Christ on the cross, dying on a cross. And that's a separation from your dead flesh, Adam. Separated from that, Paul also said in 2:16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we know no man after the flesh. Did he not? And we don't know Christ after the flesh. So we're not viewed in Adam, we're viewed now in Christ. Right? That's a spiritual man, folks. That's the new creature. You got to understand it. God Almighty is forming a new creature. That man is in Christ Jesus. He's no longer back here bound to that flesh. Now, you know what people do? They go to Galatians, get the law, try to bind the flesh. You know what grace will do? It'll take the flesh and nail it to the cross. It'll separate you from Adam. You with me? All right. Now watch this. That's a spiritual circumcision. What Christ did, being God in the flesh, that flesh that was in likeness of sinful flesh was buried, was not risen. There's your sins right there. Buried with your sin, raised without your sin unto your justification. You see that? All right, this justified position is done all through the finished cross work of Jesus Christ. There's not one thing you could do. Couldn't wiggle your finger, wiggle your nose, wiggle your ears. You couldn't do anything out of yourself. Not one thing. There was nothing in you that you could do, and there's nothing outwardly that you could do. He did it all on the cross. Your justified position. All right? So he put away that body of sin with what? His own sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He that knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Chapter 2 is going to deal with your position. All right, look at verse 12. You're buried with him in baptism. See it? All right. What do most people get out of that verse? When you went in the water, you were buried with Christ. That is in no way what he's talking about. The circumcision was spiritual. The baptism is spiritual. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Greek. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. That burial, buried with him right there, is the Spirit of God bearing you into the body, into his death, planting you in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. That's your foundational doctrine for it. Right? This is deeper doctrine, but the foundations of the doctrines are found back in Romans. You're buried with him. That's identity. You've been identified in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Can you see it? All spiritual. Not one thing that's done by anybody. It's all by the operation, the faith and the operation of God. Watch this. You are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. How did you get risen? You didn't know. Just as God raised up his son from the dead, when you believe, he planted you into that death, he put you in that body, and he raised you up with Jesus Christ. Seated you in him in heavenly places. Right? Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. You understand your identity? Is it coming clear? Who have raised him from the dead, speaking of Christ. All right? And ye being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Everything that was against you according to sin and trespasses, Jesus Christ has forgiven it all. Quickened you, animated Christ in you, made you alive, made you to move toward Christ and away from that sinful, deadful flesh. You understand? All by the operation of God. Not one thing that you did. It's a slippery slope, man, when people start talking to you about what you got to do. What you need to do is to get this in your mind and your heart that Creator God, Jesus Christ, manifested God, manifested the flesh, preeminent, did something over here on the cross, should be back there, I get that, on the cross, died, buried, raised again for your justification. And the book of Colossians now, Paul is penning this these passages to people who have received that gospel. He's prayed, he gives thanks for them because of the gospel and the fruit that it brings forth. He's given praise that God is working in them. And what he is showing them now is their position is so complete, they don't need rudiments of the world, they don't need man's philosophy, they don't need the teachings and oracles of man. What they need is the head and to hold him up and look unto him. Right? When you're looking at the book of Ephesians, Ephesians is a little bit more of Christ looking down on the body. And it talks a lot about the body of Christ in Ephesians. It talks a lot about the Holy Spirit in Ephesians. But when we come to the book of Colossians, it's about us looking up to the head, which is Christ. Those books share a lot of similar verses, about 33 references between Ephesians and Colossians. Sometimes people want to say they're basically the same book. They're not. They're very different in the fact that Ephesians is Christ and the body together and how we're supposed to function. But it's us in Him. In Colossians, it's unique because it's Him and us, and it's about us holding up the head. And that's what He's warning Colossians. All right? So if you understand these doctrines in Colossians, when you go read and study, hopefully it's going to help you to be able to decipher what the Bible is actually saying to you. All right? When He says that He's forgiven you all your trespasses, how many is that? Is that the ones that are behind me? It is, but it's also the ones today, and it also is the ones forward, right? You know how I know that? Because He died for my sins before I was ever thought of. All right? Now, look at verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He took it out of the way, and He nailed it to His cross. That very document of the law, who would have been against us, it would have been contrary to us, He took that out of the way, and He nailed it to the cross. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law perfectly, was nailed to the cross. He fulfilled it. I don't have to fulfill the law in order to be complete in Christ. That's a done deal. Do you see that when you come out of Romans, folks, you got to get this down. You come out of Romans, you come out of 1 Corinthians, you come out of Galatians, you need to understand that justification is done. All right? Ephesians is not dealing with you being how to be justified. It's dealing with how you should function now that you are justified. You understand? Don't read those books. Read these books of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians as service books, right? Who we are in Christ, how we should walk now that we have the knowledge that we have. People want to go in and they take Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians and they mix up state with standing and they get people all over the board. If you're in Ephesians, you need to know already that your justified position is that you are in Christ in heavenly places. Done deal, sealed with the Spirit, right? If you don't know that, you don't need to be in Ephesians yet. We all should be graduated to Ephesians by now. When you're in Colossians, you realize that the Creator God is in you. Understand that. And I'm not going to hold up religion. I'm not going to hold up a bunch of do-goods. I'm going to hold up the head and say, no, it's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. Everything I need is in Christ. I'm complete in Christ. You understand? All right. So then look here. He took that which was contrary out of the way and held it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly over them in it. All right. Go to chapter 3. That's probably where we're going to stop today. That'd be a good stopping point. We're going to look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 is risen to new life. Chapter 3 starts off that way. Look at chapter 3 and look at verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. When He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, that's not a question mark. It's an objective term. What He is saying there is, since you are risen with Christ, seek those things. Kind of like I told one brother, he's saying, since or if you're 25 years old, why don't you act like a 25-year-old? That's really what it's saying, right? It's not a term of question, are you risen with Christ? It's a term of since you've been risen with Christ. That's the way it's laid out. Okay? So watch here. Set your affections on things that are above, not things on the earth. Right? Where's Christ? Is He the head of the church? Are you in Him in heavenly places? Where should you be looking? See that? What do most people do? They're looking all around them down here, aren't they? They've left the head. They don't understand what the church, the body of Christ, really is. Your foundational verse for this back in Romans would be Romans chapter 6, 1 through 3. Turn there and let's read it. Actually, we're going to use more than that. 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ? Were baptized where? Not water. But into his death, right? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, not water. That's the Spirit baptizing us into the death of Christ. And that likewise, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in newness of life. That's what Colossians 3:1 was giving you. Because the rest of Colossians 3 and 4 deal with the walk. Okay? It's not just a practical walk. It's a spiritual walk. It's the Spirit generating the love of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit being generated in you, which propels, compels, right? And causes you to do things that He's doing, not just what you're doing. All right? Now look at verse 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Watch verse 6. Knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. See that? Colossians chapter 2. That's where you got the deeper doctrine of how it was done. Crucified with him, right? Your old man has been crucified. God Almighty from heaven's glory is not looking on me or you according to Adam. Religious people can't stand that. God Almighty is looking at us according to his Son. We're in him. That's how he's going to see you. That way he sees no sin. That way what he sees is the righteousness of Christ that's been given to you, that's been charged to your account, all right? Let's go back to Colossians. How long have I been going? Anybody know? 10 minutes, 45 minutes? If somebody don't speak up, I'm going to hit some things here real quick. I'm going to hit three. How long? 35? Oh, Lord, I got plenty of time. Go to 3, and we'll finish up on something. Is it 45? All right, well, good. Let's finish up on this. Look at chapter 3. I want to hit some things in chapter 3, and we'll close down. It won't take me about 5-10 minutes to do this. Bear with me. I want you to see in chapter 3, he says, you're risen with Christ, but then he says, you're dead. He says you're dead. Chapter 3, he says you're dead. Not only are you dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. Who is your life now? Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. That's how you're to live, man. Understanding that you don't have that life. Your old man is dead. You're now alive in Christ. It's he that liveth in you, right? Paul said it in Galatians 2:20. You're risen with him. Now I want to show you some things. You're dead. You're dead to the old man. We read that in Romans chapter 6, did we not? All right? You're dead to sin, Romans 6 and 11. All right? You're dead to the law, Romans 7 and 4. Got it? You're dead to the world, Galatians 6 and 14. And you're dead to religion, Colossians 2, 16, 23. Look at it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. That means you got to go to church on Sunday because that's the Lord's day. You got to go on Saturday because that's the Sabbath. Paul said, let no man judge you that way in any holy day, food or drink, watch, or of the new moon, or the Sabbath days, see that? Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of what? Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, and true to those things which you have not seen, vainly puffed up in his own fleshly mind, Jesse Duplantis. I went to heaven, and God showed me heaven, and I talked to Abraham, and I talked to Isaac, and I talked to Paul. Hogwash, that's his fleshly mind, right? I walked down the aisle of a grocery store, and I glow like an angel, Kenneth Copeland. That's fleshly mind. That's trying to bring a light to yourself. That's not holding up the head, right? Verse 19, and not holding up the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. You want the body to die? You want your functional life to die today? Let me tell you how to do it. Cut the head off. That'll kill you mortally. It'll also kill you spiritually. You don't acknowledge the head of the church, Christ, the right way in his glorified state, you will functionally die. You can run around to every church meeting you want, every revival, every tent meeting you want. You can pray 9 times a day. You can fake it till you make it, but you are dead functionally because you have walked away from underneath the head. He is your life. Right there, he just told you. Everything you need is in the head. Amen? Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, watch this. Watch how strong this is. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Why do you need that stuff? Watch this next little verse here. Touch not, taste not, handle not. That's beer, that's alcohol, that's cigarette. No, that's ordinances, that's the rudiments of the world, that's religion. Don't touch it, don't handle it, leave it. You don't need it, right? You don't need a man to put his hands on you for any reason. You have the head and you're complete in him. He's in you, the hope of glory. You need none of that business. And Paul says, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of who? God? No, men. Light your candles, your incense, hum, get into all that business, right? Bow 3 times, get up 3 times, do 4 Hail Marys, whatever the case may be. Leave it alone, man. You don't need that. You are complete in Christ. And that's what this book ain't for babies, man. If you want to run around and be a little baby and act like you're speaking in an unknown tongue, this is not for you. What you will not find in Colossians is signs and wonders. You know what you find? The power of Almighty God who created all things in you and you in Him. That's what you find. That's grown-up stuff, man. That's somebody who's took their hands off of the rails to keep themselves balanced, a little bit of religion, a little bit of law, a little bit of grace. They've let go and said, hey, I've got the head. And that's what he's instructing you to do in this book. Well, that ain't good enough, man. I got to do something. You did. You did a bunch. You were the sinner. You were an enemy. You were the one who were opposing God. And he saved you without anything you could do. Which things have indeed show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglect in the body, not in any honor of satisfying the flesh. You'll never fill up the flesh with those things, folks. You'll just be like drugs. You'll want more and more and more and more of it. Amen? And your foundational verse for that in closing is Romans chapter 8. Verse 3. He's going to show you how to look at that flesh right here. 8 and 3. For what the law could not do, and that's what Paul's dealing with over there. He's dealing with people bringing stuff in, the law included, even on the Colossians, trying to draw them away in philosophy and vain deceit and rudiments of the world and ordinances and doctrines of men. He said, what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. How did sin get condemned? By the flesh of Jesus Christ. How did it get put away? By the flesh of Jesus Christ. No man has ever put away his own sin. I don't care how hard he tries. He's a sinner to the flesh. As long as he's acknowledging sin in him, he's saying, I'm not dead to sin. But the Bible says, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Why won't a man do that? You see how sin gets fixed, folks, is by holding up the head and understanding he's already accomplished all that sin work for you. What he wants you to do is to be son conscious. Son conscious, not sin conscious. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to the law, right? I'm dead to the world. I'm dead to religion. I'm dead to this old world out here that keeps trying to tug me and put me under some system. I'll not let it happen by the grace of God. I want to be a grown-up Colossian. Amen. Holding up the head. All right? With that being said, we'll go off camera. We'll take any questions that you might have. We'll deal with chapter 4 next week. We might deal with 3 again next week. 2, 1, whatever the case may be. Hopefully it's helping you a little bit. Thank you, brother. All right. Let us pray right before we go off camera. God, we thank you. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us, have done for us. And we thank you for all of our spiritual blessings. We thank you for those who come out today to study the Bible with us. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all that you've made us in Christ Jesus. Everyone here said, amen. All right.